If you're not familiar with that song, the words are, "How beautiful is the body of Christ." We're thankful for that. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. We'll join our voices together. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Let us be joyful in hope as we celebrate God's love together. Let us pray. O Lord, we read in your word, rejoice in the Lord. And so today, Lord, even if our circumstances are such that we don't feel a lot of joy, still we turn our attention to you and rejoice in you, because you are the one who never fails us. You are the one who is steadfast and sure. You are the one on whom we can constantly depend. And so we recognize that as we come to worship you as our Lord and our God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Think about it for a moment. Which is easier for you, to name one of your sins or to name the sins of somebody else you know? Look around you this morning. You can see somebody. Oh, yeah. I can tell you what their sins are. What are your sins? I hadn't thought about that lately. Well, let us be honest and confess our own sins using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all goodness and grace, we thank you that we can come into your holy presence with boldness because you have invited us to enter your gates with thanksgiving and come into your courts with praise. So as we come before you today to worship you with gladness and to praise you with joyful songs, but we admit that this is not what we always do. We have failed to put you first in our lives, and often the songs we sing are songs of complaint as we fail to give you thanks for all your blessings. Thank you for your goodness and love, even when we have been unfaithful to you. We pray through our Lord Jesus, who is seated at your right hand to intercede for us. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 gives us two choices. One choice is to say that I have no sin. I have not done wrong. And it says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. You deceive yourself. The other choice is to say to God, yes, I have sinned, to confess your sin. And it says, if you confess your sin, then God is faithful and God is just and God will forgive your sin. God will purify you from all unrighteousness. Let me advise you, you need to take the second choice. And if you confess, God will forgive richly and freely through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Going to invite the children now to come forward to join us up front for the children's sermon. Cameron's going to have some special words for you. As they're coming, greet someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today.
Can you guys hear me? There we go. Got the loud voice. Good morning. What's your names? Maddie, Logan, Jake, Ava. Ava, you're so pretty, and you guys are so handsome. My name is Cameron. How are you guys? It's good to see you. I want to share a little bit, just real quick, about my story, and then I want to ask you something. All right? So be prepared for a question. A few years ago, I went through something really hard. I dove into some shallow water. You know how at the swimming pool says not to dive at the shallow end? You're not supposed to dive at the shallow end. Well, I did something kind of like that. And when I dove in, I hit my head on the bottom. I was actually at a lake. I dove in, and I wasn't supposed to. I hit my head on the bottom, and I actually broke my neck. You see, I'm in a wheelchair. Yeah, sometimes when people break their neck, they end up in a wheelchair. That was really hard. And I couldn't move anything. I was under the water. And I was holding my breath. I didn't know what to do because I couldn't swim up. But now here's the question. Have you ever been through something really, really hard? Yeah? I bet you've been through something tough. Well, guys, what are we supposed to do when we go through something really, really hard? We're right in the middle of it. Maybe it's something scary. Or maybe something at school really hard. Well, I'll tell you what the Lord put on my heart to do. When I was under the water, I couldn't swim up. I couldn't move. I was holding my breath. He said, Cameron, start praying. I just started praying, and I started praying, and I started praying. And after, I was under the water for over a minute. Can you hold your breath that long? You can't. I can't. I was under the water for over a minute. And then I actually, like, almost took in water. But as I was praying and praying and praying, God just gave me a little bit more air, and a little bit more air. And then something crazy happened. My best friend appeared right beside me. I don't know how she ended up right there, and she saved my life. But guys, I want to teach you something, all right? When you're hungry, where do you go? You go to the kitchen, and you open up the refrigerator. When you're tired, what do? You run to the bed, and you lay down. When you're in something really hard, what do? You go to your good Father and you pray, and He'll help you. I want you guys to remember that. You're going to go through hard things. But if you know right then, okay, I know where to go. I'm going to go to God in prayer. That's the best thing you can ever do. All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, good morning. My name is Joanna Horner, and I just love to look out and just see the faces of God's people and just say you are beautiful, because we are so representative of the church, aren't we? Just God's people coming together, and we're so grateful that we get to come and just share a little bit of what God has done, and because it is His story, it's not ours, and where He has directed this ministry. Cameron was, you know, if you haven't heard his story, you got a little glimpse of it from the children, that we went through something 7 years ago, 2011, kind of difficult for a mama too. It's my child, you know, you can imagine a mother's heart. So when we journey together, which we have for 7 years, you know, we kind of, a lot of times we do share together, because we've got a lot of mamas out here, right? We know that our children are our heartbeat. Like, there's nothing in the world that would replace our children. So I kind of sometimes go from a mother's heart, understanding that, you know, that's our heart. And so, and Cameron's going to get up here, and he's really going to share just what God has put on his heart. He is the heartbeat of Cameron Horner Ministries. I just get the privilege of joining him. And it's been a privilege. And is it always easy? You can imagine not, especially when God calls us out further. You know, when we're in our own little surrounding, You know, it's we get used to that. We sort of kind of find our independent area, and we kind of find where, you know, this is comfortable. But then when God calls you out, you have to say, okay, God, is this you? Are you sending us? Because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for Cameron and I to go. You know, Ireland sounds like a beautiful place, does it? And it is. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. But to go, it's a little harder when you're in a wheelchair, and I have to be his caregiver. So I just want to talk a little bit about that. You have in your hand just this little flyer. It kind of lays out our ministry, that the testimony is on the side. And then just the question in the middle, if you ever say, you know what, this is something I would like to get behind, there's a way to be able to team up with Cameron Horner Ministries. That's kind of a new area for us to go out and say, will you team up with us? And the reason we're so okay, passionately with that now, because we know that God has anointed it. It's not something we thought of on ourselves, because he has continued, been growing by faith, and open up more doors of opportunity. And so now the doors have opened to other countries. And the country that we were sent to 3 years ago in 2015, just by Cameron serving at a camp, and missionaries said, would you go with us? And we're going to take a team. And this team is going to be a prayer team. We're going to do street evangelism. We said, okay, we will go. So in 2015, we went. We spent a week of going out and praying with people on the streets and Holy Spirit-led conversation. Well, that is something I love. I love to go and be an overflow of what God has done to people. So that was very fun for me and awesome. Then we continued our journey the second week, because you know that in a country, anywhere, it is the church there. If they can be stirred up with a passion for God, if they can be strengthened in their faith, then they will go out and they will impact their country. Where in Ireland, less than 1% of the population are followers of Jesus. You think that's kind of shocking, because you know of the church in Ireland. But it was a church that was made up of leaders who did not represent God well. Matter of fact, they pretty much misrepresented him. And it's turned a country into a country of non-belief, atheism, agnostic, where, yeah, maybe there's a God, but we really don't want any part of that. He's been harsh. He's been mean. So our word this year, this is our third trip to Ireland, and I'm just kind of painting the picture. The second year, we did the same thing, but Cameron and I ventured out the second week on our own. The same connections we made the first year, more doors opened, more doors opened. Well, February this year, the team was going to Ireland. Well, the team said, we can't go now. But Cameron and I had already had just three really important appointments there that we knew that we really wanted to be a part of. The community where we stayed, a pastor's conference, youth leaders who had already asked us, how do you deal with hard things? They'd had a tragedy in community. Can you help us? So we said, we're going. So Cameron and I traveled all alone to get on the airplane, to drive 7 hours, fly 7 hours in an airplane to arrive there. You're thinking, we've got extra baggage. We've got extra things to carry, and so you've just got me. But I knew by God's faithfulness that he has every time provided, that he will provide every step of the way what we need. So from the airports to arriving, there was someone there. He took our baggage. When we got to Ireland, there was a young man. And guess what we get to do along the way? Share Jesus. We are very much an overflow of the story. We've learned that the story has power. You know, you have a story. You know, I want to slow down. But what I have learned, that our stories become a testimony when God steps in. He changes the outcome. He changes your heart. He changes it all. So we begin to tell people about what God has done. And they'll come and they carry us along and they help us. And so while we're there, again, our purpose is to, right now, it's the call to the church body. And this year, we had three appointments, but every day became full. So as one heard about us, there were many churches we went to, and Cameron's going to share more about that. But the door opened wide. So then you see, okay, God, this is truly your calling. When you had three appointments, but 2 weeks was full. We even drove up to Northern Ireland, which is another country, and worked with a ministry there. We were all over Ireland, speaking at churches, not forgetting the one, getting on darts. And my heart was to reach the young people. Because I want to tell you, what we have learned about Ireland is there's a hopeless generation there. We have seen, you see it on their faces. You go and you see, this is hopeless generation. When you go and you talk to the young people, we get on the dart, and I would just be intentional. and God would put a young person in front of me, and I'd begin to talk about Jesus, and they would say, no, no one talks about Jesus. No one talks about God. And we begin to share, and you see a little hope rise. You would think a country that knew God, but they've turned from him. And the word, again, he was not represented correctly. God is loving, he is kind, and he loves them. And so we are so honored to be a part of that. When I first say, Lord, why do you want us to go? Because, I don't want to go somewhere just for that. And he said, I want a revival in this country. I just believe that he loves them. There's a foundation that he started in Ireland. So can we be a part of that? I said, yeah, Lord, I want to be a part of that. If that's where you're sending us, we will go. And so just a little sharing about that. Many stories. I could go on and on about the stories and the faces of the people that we share Jesus with. The door, God opened so many doors of churches that we know now that it is anointed call because our story matters. And if you pair it with the word of God, you can really impact a lot of people that way. And so there's a scripture here. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I just picked up this scripture. Hope is a powerful thing. And when you offer hope where there seems to be hopelessness, man, you see it in their faces. Their suicide is high. Alcoholism is high. The kids think that's their thing to do because they don't know any better. There's not our generation leading them to Jesus. There's no one like you or like us leading the young generation to Jesus. And so we share this morning. And another call that we're going is just to say this. We haven't been there yet, but in September we're being called to India. Because God sees the whole world and he knows what they need. And so they've called and asked us, will we come and bring our story in this September to India? Does that sound hard? Yeah, that sounds real hard. That's a whole different journey. But the Christian people in India have promised that they will care for us when we go. We're hoping some will go with us. But they have promised you will be in good hands. So they want to hear our story. They want us to equip the pastors there. How can we do that? Because I've watched my son every morning get up, and he's learned the secret to this intimacy with the Father, to go and meet in the secret place with Jesus and let Jesus fill him up, and then we are an overflow to the world around us. So thank you for having us. Again, if you want to consider partnering with this ministry, God has his hand on it. I can promise you that. We don't know that from the beginning, but I know now that God has his hand on this, and we will be faithful to go wherever he sends us. So I just want to introduce Cameron now to let him come and share what's on his heart. Thank you again for letting us have. Information is on your paper about how you could send, how you can support. And again, we are so grateful to be here. Thank you. All right, Cameron Horner.
My life. How is everybody? Really blessed to be here. Thanks, Mom. That was very good. So she kind of answered some of the questions of why Ireland. You got to hear some staggering statistics. We heard the first year, less than 1% of the population has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ there. Less than 1%. I mean, that's just... We don't really have a paradigm for it. And then you get over there and you realize they don't even have God factored into their life at all. It's a very sad situation. And Mom used a specific word, hopelessness. Hopelessness. You just see it all over the place. And how do you know when you're in a hopeless situation, when you see hopeless people, they're running to so many different things to try and find hope. And that was an epidemic in Ireland. So the need in Ireland is great. And we first time, we asked the question, well, why Ireland? Why Ireland? You go to India, you go to Africa, you go to South America. Why Ireland? And then you realize that the word of God is not being spread in Ireland. You realize the gospel is not being shared there. Not only that, because they are a first world country, they get overlooked by all the missionaries. And we start to say, oh, wow, okay. And then we ask the question, well, Lord, why us in Ireland? And you realize that the hopelessness that's spread abroad there, what do they need but a story where God has come in and given hope to a hopeless situation? So we begin to realize being in a wheelchair was never fun. It was never fun. It was never something that we would have said, yeah, I'll sign up for that to go do ministry. You know, you don't sign up for that. But from day one of this accident, we've watched God use this situation in a wheelchair to bring hope to people. A story of hope to stir and strengthen our fellow believers, to be able to speak to non-believers who have heard it all before. Then they hear a really tragic story and they'll lean in. And we realized that's why Ireland. That's why you're calling us there, Lord. Because while I wouldn't sign up for this necessarily, you know, I've seen it. I've seen God for 7 years now, so, you know, I would maybe sheepishly say, yes, Lord, I'll do the wheelchair thing. But now you say it's clear why us in Ireland, because he has given us a message of hope and he sent us to a hopeless generation. So I feel impressed to kind of share a little bit about what I do in ministry in general and give just a few examples of that in Ireland. Mom mentioned that this past time that we were there, this is our third time, every day was full. We had one day off. And we just took that day to just catch our breath. And even during that day, we were doing something, it seemed like. So 2 weeks, totally full of ministry. Totally full. And I don't know how we had the strength to do it. But the testimony of that is that we went with only a few opportunities open. Because that's just how you have to do ministry there. You open a few doors, you get there, and then the Irish hospitality just goes nuts, and they ask you to come everywhere. So we ended up doing a speaking tour of Ireland our last time there. And that's just the way you do it. So what we do here, from really, this has been going on since the inception of this ministry, but it's really become more defined in the past couple years. I've looked into the scriptures. I want to read just a couple verses. And I've realized that the call of ministry, really for anybody, is threefold. It's the place of prayer, discipleship, and missions. Prayer, discipleship, missions. And we, in the Great Commission, I'll just read it real quick for us. It's from Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Then the apostles, they are told to wait until they receive the Holy Spirit. They do that, and then in Acts chapter 2, you see Peter began to preach a sermon. It's outreach. It's missional. He's proclaiming. And after this sermon, thousands of people come in, and you see this verse at the end of the chapter. And they, all the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, discipleship, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So you have your threefold here. The first thing you saw was Peter went, he did missions. And then the believers came together and they did discipleship. And then while they're together, they're in prayer. This has been what the call of God has been on our lives here and now in this area. So what we do is, for years now, we've been laboring in the place of sitting before God, interceding on behalf of the people that he's brought us to. So now here in our community, the Lord has put me in the midst of a group of 20s and 30s young adults. And I think we meet just about every day of the week. We do a Bible study Monday night, Tuesday nights. We have a fellowship of the leaders on Wednesday nights. We lead another big Bible study Friday nights, and then we teach a Sunday school Sunday morning. And this is all the 20s and 30s. There's probably 30 of us now. And they're just from different churches. Some of them don't have churches. They're just coming in. And we're just seeing an overflow of discipleship among an age group where, if you think about it, there's not a lot going on for 20s and 30s. You come out of youth group, then you just go crazy for a few years, and then you got the older adults Sunday school, right? They're like, all right, my crazy years are behind me. I'll get in church now. So God has called me and several others around me to minister among this group of people. Now we're called also to mission, so we're speaking in churches. Now we've been able to take that very same model to Ireland, because I want to ask the question, am I actually fulfilling the call of God while we're there? Because if I'm not, you know, we can go to Ireland, we can speak a little bit, but I want to ask, am I doing the call of God? So, three quick stories. Again, I've got three mission trips that I could pull from, all of which are full of stories, but I just want to give you three quick ones. And the first one, prayer. What's an opportunity, an example of prayer while we're in Ireland? Well, Mom shared some of it, that we do prayer, intercessory prayer and evangelism on the streets. And that's basically where you're just going through a city and you're walking around or pushing around and you're watching the people and you're just asking God that he will just impact the nation. He'll raise up more disciples, and you're just praying for the nation. And you're just putting yourself in a city to pray for them. And oftentimes, while you're doing that, the Lord, it's been amazing. I've just been sitting beside a bench, and somebody will come sit down, and just a conversation will start, and you start to do evangelism. So you do prayer, and then you also get to pray with other believers and strengthen their faith. The next one, prayer, there's abundant need there. The next one is discipleship. What are opportunities of discipleship? And this is something that gets overlooked in the church so much. Do we have one-on-one discipleship? Are we sitting with people, extended periods of time and teaching them the ways of Jesus, teaching them how to read the scriptures? Well, over there, we were asked to speak into a situation. Mom shared a little bit. There were some young adults, believe it or not, young adults over there that were given the opportunity to do youth work in their schools. That is about like getting an opportunity to do youth work here. You don't get an opportunity to do Christian youth work in schools here, do you? You don't. It's that way in Ireland. So for them to be given that opportunity was a major grace of the Lord. But the reason they were asked to come into the schools and do that, share Jesus in the schools, be ministers there, is because they had had a tragedy in the community where a young lady had passed away. She had drowned. And it so impacted the community because the communities there are smaller, more tight-knit. So all of a sudden, these youth workers are getting all these kids coming to them with depression and sorrow. And how do I deal with this situation? What do we do? And the youth workers are like, we don't know how to address this. So they asked us to come and speak into that situation. And why would they ask us? And it's just because our unique situation with what we've been through was able to speak into what they were going through. So we ended up having, I think, a 3 or 4 hour teaching series on how do we handle situations like this. We literally just sat there, discussed. They asked questions. We talked. And we began to equip young leaders in the nation of Ireland that could then go back out and impact their community. And each one of those people that we met with in that small group setting, we actually were able to do one-on-one discipleship afterwards for hours, along with teach one of their youth groups. So prayer was abundant. The discipleship element was being hit very much so. And now missions. What was missions? And it was really twofold. It's missions to the lost and missions to the church. The last time we went, we were given the word to, well, actually 2 times ago, we were given the word to stir and strengthen. Stir a passion for God among the people. Use your story. Use what you've been through to stir up a passion for God. A passion for God will kill a thousand sins. And then use your story to strengthen the faith of the people there. Because they don't have a passion for God. And they don't have a strong faith. So we were sent out. Now, I will tell you, the church that is there, they're small, but they are on fire. Because they have to be. They have to be. They don't have very many other believers there. They're looked down upon. They're not in a place where there's revivals breaking out. Believe it or not, in the Middle East, revivals are breaking out. The church has just passion. It's not going on in Europe. So the need of the church is for people to come in and not take over everything or pretend like we've got this new thing that you need to hear from us. That's not what we go for. We go to come in and say, how can I encourage you? How can we serve you while we're here? And then we share our story, we give a message of encouragement, and we leave the church more stirred, more strengthened, more prepared to fulfill the call of God on their lives there. And then we leave, they stay, and they're more encouraged to keep reaching out to the nation. So we got to do that I could list off all the churches, but one church after another, after another, after another. Literally, the nation of Ireland, you can almost, just look at the four corners of your map, your north, south, east, and west. And there's a lot of middle area too, but your primary locations are on the four, kind of your four corners. So we got to hit quite a few churches on each point. The south we didn't go into as much this year, but we were just church after church after church after, small group on Monday nights and little community centers where you would just be bussed into a group of believers and they're just like huddled down in these little rooms singing to God and encouraging one another and sharing messages. It just blows your mind. So we got to fulfill the mission to the church in mighty ways through our story. And then one last story. I love this one. I know I'm short on time, but we went to Northern Ireland, which again, believe it or not, is actually a separate nation. There's two Irelands. We didn't know that until a few years ago. But we went to Northern Ireland, and I got to tell you about this guy. His name is Pete. Picture a redneck, just country boy. Put him in Ireland and turn him Irish. It's an Irish version of just a country boy. This is my brother Pete. I love him. Talk slow, accent. He's great. Well, Pete, he talks slow and he's a country boy, but that mind of his is always going. And that young man, actually he's 30-something, has a passion for God and for evangelizing the lost. That confronts me. I'm like, Lord, I need a passion for this, like this young man does. Well, what they do, the church in Northern Ireland, they have taken a bus, I think like an old Greyhound bus, and they converted it into a little cafe equipped with a kitchenette in the back, couches on one side, tables and booths on one side, and a little TV and game system. And you're like, how do they fit all that on there? I was like, no way, until I saw it for myself. Well, what they do is every night of the week, they park this bus dark outside in the middle of one of the city streets, and all of the hopeless kids are welcomed onto this bus instead of going and drinking and doing drugs. And they'll cook food for them. They'll offer them discussion, they'll have to talk with them, they'll love on them, and then somebody will share a testimony. And Pete said, Cameron, we want to get you on this bus. Immediately, I knew wheelchairs don't fit through Greyhound bus doors. So I said, yeah, Pete, we'll see. We'll see. Well, I got there, and I knew Pete's wheels were spinning. He was thinking, how are we going to get Cameron on this bus? So I get there, and I, Pete, I don't know if I'll fit or not. And he said, well, Cameron, I kind of had an idea, and I knew Pete had an idea, and I knew what Pete's idea was, too. He said, you know, Kevin, I think we can get you. And I said, I know, Pete. Look, man, I'm in your hands, whatever you want to do. And he said, well, I was thinking, if a few of us picked you up out of your wheelchair and carried you on the bus, and then we'll tear your wheelchair down and carry it on behind you, put it back together, and then we'll set you in the wheelchair. And I knew that's what he was going to say, and I said, Lord, that's all right. I'll bite the bullet, and I'll take it. I said, Pete, I think that's a great idea. I didn't think that was a great idea, but I knew it would work. So sure enough, they get me there. They pick me up, carry me up this Greyhound bus steps, and it worked out better than I thought. They actually set me on one of the couches in there, put the wheelchair back together. And I actually just sat on the couch for a while some of the kids came in and out and had discussion with them. And then they said, all right, Cameron, it's time for you to share your story. So they gave me a little microphone, kind of like this, and they said, now, don't get discouraged. When you start talking, a lot of the kids are going to get up and walk out because they just don't want to hear it. I said, all right. But I knew if I went for the jugular, you know what going for the jugular means? If you just go for it, if you just jump in, go for the hardest part of the story. So I got the microphone and I just said, when I was 18 years old, I had a diving accident, broke my neck and was paralyzed. Captivated them. These young people think that they've got a hopeless situation. They leaned in. And I was able to share with them my story and the love of God and hope. 10 minutes. Nobody blinked. And you know that I've shared my story before, and plenty of people have blinked. Plenty of people have gotten distracted and not listened too well. When you have it like that, where you know you've got the attention, that's when the anointing of God is there and God is present. Not because of any story, but God is present. And these children, you could tell, were connecting with the story. And the best part was, I got to tell these kids about how much the church there that was in that bus with them loved them. And I got to tell these kids, you guys keep coming back here and you keep receiving the word of God from these people, because there is hope and we've experienced it. We spent the rest of that night on that bus and got to come back the next night and speak to the youth groups and just do amazing things for amazing 2 weeks. And the word we left with them was, do you want to be equipped? Do you want to be a different kind of Christian? It takes intimacy with the Father. It takes being in the place of being with Him daily. We call it devotional time. We call it quiet time. Call it what you want. I'm talking about getting up and sitting with our Lord and Savior and King and being with Him daily. And it creates a different kind of Christian. And Mom said that a lot of people there had misrepresented God. And the final word we gave to them, and I'll give to you, is if you want to represent the Father, it takes being intimate with the Father. And this is what we equipped them with. Every place we went, began a personal relationship. Christians begin a personal relationship with the Father. And this is our message. And this is the message that we take there. This is the message we disciple here. And I'll be bold enough to ask, I'm not one that labors for money, but when I'm convinced that God is behind, is sending us somewhere, I'll ask my fellow believers, get behind us in this. Because in our community here, we're able to reach out in some special ways to an age group that's not getting hit at all. And I am watching young men get free from addictions. I'm watching young men that I know they're going to be called into the pastorate, that we're getting to disciple and raise up in their leadership abilities. We're doing that here. I'm swimming sometimes, like keeping my head above the water because of all the opportunities here. So it's happening here, and it's happening in Ireland. And part of ministry in Ireland is laboring in prayer and writing letters from here to there. So we're busy. And we would just ask, would you be willing to get behind God's efforts by giving us money when we go and sending us, and by praying for us, or by financially supporting us monthly now? And I just ask that boldly, because there's so much going on. There's so much need. So we thank you for your ongoing support that you've given to us year after year that we've come here. And I just want to say thank you. It is a blessing to be here. And I want to leave you guys equipped to walk out your faith more by saying intimacy with the Father. Set before him daily. It creates a different kind of Christian that's able to represent the Father to this world around you that needs to see him the way he actually is. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to the pastor. Thank you so much for your time. And pray for Ireland. Pray for Europe. It is a spiritually dead place right now. But the fellow believers there are passionate, and they need your prayers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate it. All right, and now you have a chance to respond to that message and to his call. So you'll see in your bulletin we'll be taking offering, the regular offering that we receive, and the regular offering plates will be for the church. But anything that's placed in the baskets will go directly to Cameron Horner Ministries. Just make your checks payable to GPC. So let us now respond to God's call. Oh, Lord, thank you for the reminder that people do need the Lord. We need you. We need you every day. So, Lord, we pray that you'd remind us of that even as we seek to share from the overflow of what you have done in our hearts and lives as we share generously for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to invite you to be seated for just a moment. Just a moment, we'll have the benediction, and then you'll sing the song. And then I want you, if you've got a moment, to remain seated and hear this music, because I didn't want you to walk out the front door and miss this blessing. They're going to be a great blessing to you, Bob and Barbara. Thank you so much. Cameron, I'm going to have you join me at the front of the church in just a moment, and that way, as you do leave, you can have a chance to speak to Cameron. Cameron, thank you for sharing your heart with us. And, you know, I've heard Cameron speak publicly, but I've also spent time with him privately, and the Lord is doing a work in his heart, and I'm so thankful for that, and thank you for sharing that with us today. So as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Give within you the desire to know Him greater, more deeply. Continue to know Him until that day that you will be brought face to face with Him and stand before Him in His presence without fault and without blame. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. Thank you.